Hi,
Good
Dominique, and
morning.
good morning, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead.
Thank you.
Apologize for people who are traditional users and seeing this instead of just listening to it. Small issue with my camera, so I'm doing this through my phone, but we're still taping it through the computer. So get a wide angle. So let's kind of dive right in. Obviously, we had the Fed this week. We have a lot of interesting things with the Trump administration, as always. What were your key kind of takeaways from this past week?
So the Fed really is important. At some level, it did what I expected. No change in policy. Two cuts in this year in the SCP, but it introduced a very important policy dilemma, which is contrary to my expectation, and despite the fact that they see enormous policy uncertainty, they changed the SCP to show a stagflation-lite scenario. What I call stagflation-lite is slower growth and higher inflation. By contrast to the real stagflation of the 1970s when we had a contraction, a recession, and a higher inflation. And they still showed, despite the stagflation light, they still showed two cuts this year. But I think this is more of a political scenario in the sense
Sure.
that they don't want to pick a fight in the administration until they really have to. So they had what I would call almost a magical inflation trajectory, that inflation core PC, they upgraded their forecast by 60 basis points. And then, miracle of miracles, next year it falls back to where it was in the December SCP. So it goes from 2.8 to 2.2%. But what is really important here is a trade-off between inflation and unemployment, because so far the Fed has only dealt with situation where unemployment was going up and inflation was going down, or vice versa. Now
Right.
they have a situation, stagflation light, where inflation and unemployment are moving in the same direction, which means that the two legs of their mandate are in opposition to each other. So how do they adjudicate? And Powell referred to the what he calls the what the Fed calls the consensus statement, which is a statement of principle of how they are going to run policy, which they reapprove every year. And that statement says that in the unlikely event the Fed has to choose between its employment and inflation mandate, it will pick based on things like which is further away from its long term. And the thing is, one reason why I don't believe their two cuts are credible this year is that they show a big slowdown in growth this year in the SCP, 1.7%, so below trend. But they show only what 20, 10 basis point increase in the unemployment rate. So they show unemployment only 20 basis point above their long-term estimate, which means they still show the economy at full employment. I don't believe that with inflation jumping and still full employment, they will cut. And they probably don't believe it either. But imagine what Trump's reaction would have been if they had shown only one cut instead of two cuts. So they would rather, promise a cut and, it's mañana por la mañana, it's tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. So this gives me renewed confidence in my call for no cuts this year. At the same time, I think it shows what investors need to focus on, which is how the Fed views the trade-off between its employment and inflation mandates. And in other words, how much of a slowdown or of a labor market loosening we need to see in order for the Fed to deliver cuts this year, despite a worsening of the inflation trajectory. So it was an important meeting, contrary to my expectations.
Right. So in general, this is a little bit something like you've been talking about for months, though. There's less supply of, if there's a lot of
Sure.
deportation, there's a lot less supply of
Of labor.
workers. So the fact that growth can slow, but the unemployment rate doesn't go, percentage doesn't go a lot higher, kind of does make some sense. But I guess if unemployment rate doesn't go much higher and inflation does go a bit higher, how can they get away with not cutting? Sorry, how can they get away with making those two cuts if we're still close to full employment and inflation is heading higher? And I guess I can
100%.
answer, yeah. So why haven't people brought that up more?
Because, and understandably so, whenever the Fed goes on the one hand, on the other hand, and one hand is market friendly and the other hand is less market friendly, surprise, surprise, the market focuses on the one hand. I also think that what is going on is that the Fed and the market have a different view of growth prospects this year.
Yeah, that's, I think, yeah, that has to be the answer. And I think it's almost like, well, payroll, like employment rate is not that important because there's less supply. So the economy can be slowing, which is what how they're saying, look, growth is slowing. It's going to actually be below trend. So maybe we do have to cut. And that's why we're
Exactly.
kind of, and of those three factors, the unemployment rate is kind of like the least important because you have another factor pushing against that, which is the lack of supply.
From the Fed perspective, definitely, but I think the market, so there is this difference in growth, which, by the way, our LLM. Fed LLM index shows we have a decoupling between the 2-year yield and our LLM. And if you look at what's been driving our LLM, it's B, breakevens. And since the 2-year nominal is breakeven plus real, the decoupling has to reflect weaker expectations of growth by the market. So there is that, and there is also the fact that the market still doesn't get that lower NFP do not necessarily mean higher unemployment, while the Fed is all on it because it's a contentious topic. They haven't stressed too much the positive impact of immigration on growth. And basically for
Right.
them it was a positive supply shock, but they've been on it since day one, and now that nice
Getting
surprise,
unwound, yeah.
is reversing. They are anticipated the impact. So basically, what they are seeing in their growth slowdown is more a slowdown in the trend in the supply side, in the sustainable growth rate, than an opening of an output gap, than demand falling short of supply. And of course, in the first instance, they can't cut that much or
Yeah.
so.
A few clients raise this idea that there are like LLM or other ways of assessing central bank policy and why that's somewhat been a little bit difficult to use as a very sh in the last 2 months as a driver of 2-year yields is because you have these tariffs coming down and the Fed needs to prepare for that, but the sensitivity of the economy to potentially to the stock market is very high. And while the Fed is saying, yes, we know this thing's coming, so we're a little bit concerned about it, stock market is like, whoa, this is, it also got caught, maybe it was expensive, whatever, but the stock market coming down 10, 15% of NASDAQ or whatever, that's helping to drive 2-year yields, maybe even more than the Fed,
For sure. And Powell during the presser said, yes, financial conditions are important, but they have to change in a sustained manner. So the economic time and Fed time is much, much slower than market time. So that's another perception gap. And one more thing to add about this employment inflation policy trade-off is that, of course, against a backdrop when inflation expectations are going up, and Powell has stressed it's all fine, it's just short-term inflation expectation, but you wouldn't expect him to say otherwise. No central banker is going to tell you that inflation expectations are de-anchoring, because this would be an admission that he's failed at his job. So he's saying it's all fine because long-term inflation expectations haven't moved, they are consistent with our 2% inflation target. In reality, he's likely to be very concerned, and that's another reason to be less responsive to a slowdown in growth than an increase in inflation.
Right. Tricky one. Okay, and then the upcoming week, what's kind of your key things and thoughts?
So upcoming week, I mean, in terms of data, most important is personal income and spending, because that's where we see whether the increase in savings that we saw last month that drove the contraction in spending, because this income growth was actually very strong. Whether that reverses. And that's what the market is predicting. If the consensus is right, it would go in my direction that underlying economy is strong. It's just the administration chaotic policy implementations that's increased uncertainty. But maybe the chaos is becoming smaller, as I'm expecting, and people are getting used to it. So you have that. Then there is confidence, consumer confidence, which is going to be another sign of, whether consumers are being spooked by the policy uncertainty. The market, the consensus is predicting a weakening of confidence, which is a bit inconsistent with the recovery in personal spending that they are expecting. So let's see, there is possibly a positive surprise there. So that's data-wise. And then in terms of Fed, we have, I believe, seven speakers. The most important one, in my view, is going to be Mousalem, the St. Louis Fed president, because he's probably, in my books, he's one of the deepest economic thinkers on the committee, and he's going to give us his take on this employment inflation trade-off. So Mousalem is my favorite guy this week. And then, of course, we have the preparation for Liberation Day. So Andrew, Liberation Day is on April 2nd, and it's when we find out about the reciprocal tariff. As you know, and I have highlighted in a formal note to client, the US Trade Representative, who has just been confirmed at the end of last month, wants to give more structure, more process to trade policy. And he's brought on his side the White House chief of staff, who has a very strong relationship with Trump. And so this is going to be a test of my view of that these two, and I think the rest of the economic cabinet, because I cannot criticize their boss in public, but obviously they have to be worried about the impact of the policy announcement on confidence. So how this Liberation Day, the day when the reciprocal tariff are announced, How it is managed is going to be a test of my views that we are at peak policy, especially tariff policy uncertainty. So that's something else to watch for next week.
That's interesting. So I hadn't thought. So that should hopefully bring a little bit more structure. Not saying tariffs are going to come down, but at least it'll be much more clear. So that transparency and that clarity should help with investors and even help with our trading partners.
100%. And I think tariffs are an enormous distraction because the US economy is services driven. For some reason, Trump has decided that blue collar jobs, this is what he wants to build. But actually, if you look at manufacturing employment, despite the enormous taxpayer funded subsidies to manufacturing industry, it's been contracting over the past 3 years. And the bottom line is that manufacturing is not a source of well-paying job for non-college graduate. You want to work in a foundry, you want to work in a factory, you need a STEM degree. So I think this is a very deep misconception on the part of the administration. And as a result, a conception that the market has espoused. And as a result, they are giving far too much importance to this tariff policy. But the bottom line is that employment, manufacturing employment is contracting because manufacturing productivity is going up. But overall, the manufacturing sector is less than 15% of the economy. So these tariffs won't be as disruptive and as negative for growth as everybody thinks. Unfortunately, given the way they are implementing, they are much more disruptive than they need to be, and they are lifting inflation expectations. But anyway, we'll see what happens next week. But I just think this whole tariff business is far less important than people assume.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's definitely not a not something being discussed. What are you looking at that would signal maybe you would want to change your view about no cuts?
So definitely, I mean, the hard economic data. I mean, one thing that I was very far from the market before the FOMC in terms of cuts, but what things that added to my conviction was Powell stressing that hard data is okay, it's soft data. So hard data in general, and then to me, the key to a slowdown is really the labor market. This is where, because when you think at how the economy works, it's a little bit like an ecosystem where you have production and consumption feeding into each other. So the labor market is really where we are going to see the feedback loop. So businesses hire, invest, which creates income for household. And so household spend, which create demand for businesses. I think the labor market, a labor market weakening, a big increase in unemployment, this is where things fall apart, and I will revise my forecast. But the forecast revision, my change of view is much more dependent on unemployment than on NFPs for the reasons we just discussed. This is what the Fed cares about.
And what's the most forward looking? What would you just the monthly payroll numbers, or would you look at like weekly numbers, what the job
So
openings, what everything or
the most forward-looking type of expenditure really is CapEx, so investment, business investment. And if you look at the Atlanta Fed estimate of CapEx for this quarter, it's actually not going down. It's strong. Yeah, that would be most of the NFP data is backward looking, unfortunately, and very noisy.
Exactly. Okay, I think that's a lot of good food for thought. And like you said, there's definitely been some choppiness. I mean, obviously, we're seeing it all across the markets. But we'll see. But I think this idea that there can be a bit more of some certainty on trade policy, and maybe, as you were highlighting, which is not being discussed at all, that the goods are still a fairly, and manufacturing is a somewhat fairly small part of the economy. So putting all this together, okay, maybe it's choppy for the next couple of weeks, but maybe once we get into April, things will smooth out. And there'll be a bit more clarity around how we engage with trading partners and what's the strategy going forward. But I would say, they have gotten the interest rates, okay, not from the Fed, but they've definitely brought the 10-year down from what would be 4.6, 4.7 down to 4.2. And I listened to,
Very impressive.
yeah, an interview with Scott Bessent, I think a couple of days ago, and yeah, there's many parts of the plan. That's kind of clearly one. I guess they want to get it under four would be a guess. But then beyond that, they probably need the Fed to start cutting.
Well, I mean, if they want to get it under four and not crash the economy, the best way would be to have a big decrease in all in energy prices, which means a big
Yes, which is
increase
clearly
in.
what they're trying to. It's funny. Obviously, energy prices are important, but it's also like electricity prices, which I'm surprised that people aren't. He was talking about energy infrastructure and the grid and everything, and how much cheaper it is to produce electricity now in the US versus China. And I wonder if that's also going to be a kind of a focus. My guess is maybe it should be.
100%. But the thing is, it would take time to strengthen the grid, do all
Definitely.
this
Yeah.
investment. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of the things that this administration want to do, which could really lift the long-term growth rates of the economy. It's just how they are implemented and the fact that they will play over the longer term. So in that sense, I agree with President Trump's view that all the ben I mean, a lot of the benefits are going to be long-term for sure. We just have to make sure that implementation doesn't put us on a permanently lower growth path.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so and then at the just to highlight a few pieces during the week, Veresh just and the team just re released a piece on AI, and I guess we're kind of looking at the different the obviously there's a lot of different models out there, different models, the performance. What about all the investing CapEx, obviously working with NVIDIA, the Global Rates Weekly, kind of addressing some of the questions, obviously around all the investing that Europe's talking about doing and how they're talking about executing on that. Stagflation light, I guess it was talking about the US. Henry had a bunch of pieces, a lot of stuff on the labor market in the UK. Let's see, some stuff obviously on CPI or inflation in Europe. Caroline addressed, which was a good closing of our bullish Turkey trade a few weeks ago. Her view is for now, just continue to sit on the sidelines if we can and wait for things to play out. And so far, I think she looks like it's right. Yeah, we have a couple of new FX trades. Euro Kiwi, and I know one of Ben's favorite trades that he really likes is the long Nokestocky. And obviously a whole bunch of stuff. We updated our event monitor, adding new products in there. And a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of questions, particularly this week, around all the AI central bank indice work. We will be releasing stuff soon about topic modeling. So this is understanding the different kind of intensity of the each of the central banks focus on different topics, which I think will be super cool. And yeah, and wish everyone a great weekend.
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
Awesome, thanks.